Eye contact, oculexics. As we said, it is a technical term for eye contact. In some cultures, looking deep into the eyes may be considered intimidating and offensive, whereas in some cultures, eye contact is a very necessary aspect. But when we take an overall view, eye contact, of course, is a very important aspect in all walks of life. When you talk of eye contact, there will be differences in terms of various cultures, religious backgrounds, various people, and of course their beliefs. So ideally, when you talk of their beliefs, it is also that in some cultures, it is not permissible to look straight into the eye of elders. So that needs to be followed. It is a study of the role of eye contact in non-verbal communication. This is oculexics. Did you know that in the first 90 seconds to 4 minutes, you decide that you are interested in someone or not? Probably the eye has that kind of gauging ability that when you see a person, the first few seconds or minutes are enough for you to understand whether you feel interested or disinterested in an individual. Studies reveal that 50% of the first impression comes from non-verbal communication, which includes oculexics. Only 7% comes from words that we actually say. That means when we talk of 50%, it's such a high percent because only 7% is through words. That means if we go to see, our words do not have much of value in comparison to nonverbal communication. In comparison. Of course, by itself, nonverbal communication and verbal communication, both will have that kind of value. But here we are speaking in comparison. Then non-verbal communication is way beyond and a lot can be assumed and understood through it. As a social or behavioral science, oculexics is a form of non-verbal communication focusing on deriving the message from eye behavior. So eye contact, eye gaze, maybe staring, blinking, gazing. All these are aspects of what you say of yourself to another person. Say even winking, right? So, we are going to be discussing how eye contact, how eye behavior will affect our communication and what is the role it plays. It can also deal with the medical care of eyes such as optometry and ophthalmology. The term oculist usually applies to a doctor of one of these medical specialists. Of course, ophthalmology is a study of eyes. When we talk of eye contact, let us focus on these three levels. Direct eye contact. I enter a classroom and within few seconds or minutes, I have eye contact with one and all. So, it's just having a glimpse at one and all. But there is direct contact. I'm able to make eye contact with one and all. Indirect eye contact and duration of eye contact. When we talk of indirect eye contact, it could probably mean that I look at a person for a few seconds and turn my face away. It could be due to various reasons if I turn my face away. But indirect eye contact probably means that you just looked in that direction for a few seconds. It could also mean that you did not want to focus much in that direction or look there. It could also mean that you did not want to probably give that much attention to the concerned person or the environment. Duration of eye contact is extremely important. How long and why? What is the reason for us to have eye contact in terms of duration. When there is eye contact, of course, there is a purpose. So how long does it go in terms of eye contact? A complete definition of emotion must take into account all of these aspects or components. The experience or conscious feeling of emotion. When we talk of eye contact, it is a lot to do with our emotions too. How we feel, that means how we feel in terms of at an emotional level, how we feel in terms of our thought process, that means your attitude, the way you think, feel and behave. The next, the processes that occur in the brain and nervous system. Say you see a very beautiful scenery. So you just can't take your eyes off that. So it is in the mind that, wow, it's such scenic beauty. I'd like to continue looking at it. So it is there in the mind, that vision, once you see it and you want to continuously see it. And then the observable expressive patterns of emotion, particularly those on the face. The eyes reveal a lot. The eyes ideally would have a lot of sharpness in terms of what they want to see. That means we talk of appropriate eye contact. We talk of confidence, which is also visible on the face as well as through eye contact. And we talk of the ability to not be a shy person or have lack of confidence so that eye contact can be appropriate. This third component is where oculexics plays a role in non-verbal communication, because there it is the observable expressive pattern of emotion. It is said that the eyes reveal the truth. The eyes reveal it all. So it is extremely important to know that oculexic is a technical term for eye contact. When we talk of oculexic, it means that how much attention am I actually giving to an individual through eye contact too? It means that sometimes, even out of respect, you're having eye contact with an individual and you're showing that you're focused and you're an active listener. Oculexic is a primary form of communicating emotion. According to the science, oculexics can show which type of thinking someone is using when they are communicating. A person thinking visually might physically turn their eyes away as if to look at an imagined presentation of what they are thinking, even to the point of changing the focus of their eyes. What do we mean by this? A person thinking visually might physically turn their eyes away. If I have some thought in my mind, if I have a vision in my mind, then wherever I am in the current situation, my focus will go at a different level. That means even if I'm looking at a few things on my desk, my files, or I'm reading some emails, but I have that vision that in the next 2 years, I have to see growth and progress in my organization. Then for a few minutes, I will disconnect mentally from what I'm actually seeing there physically on my desk, which could probably be my emails, which could probably be some clutter on my desk, which could probably be some desk or which could probably be some papers or sheets on my desk. Why? Because I'm actually visualizing something most important in terms of progress and growth for my organization. Someone thinking in terms of hearing might turn their eyes as much as possible to one of their ears. When I say someone thinking in terms of hearing, whatever you hear, you immediately think, and that means you're also visualizing to a great extent. And that happens too. That means whatever is told to you, you're an active listener, you're interpreting, you're understanding, and then you're also visualizing. Because the moment you understand, comprehend, interpret, it means that you can start visualizing. Say you want to be a successful entrepreneur. So you have all your goals, your strategies, your tactics, your plans in place. You have a backup plan because you're aware that what you have visualized, what you've thought of is actually going to take shape. So it makes you move ahead. A person thinking in terms of what they feel could look downwards, as if looking toward the emotion coming from their body. This also could mean that the very fact that I'm looking downwards somewhere, it can mean that you're either probably disinterested, you're probably worried, or it can mean that you're not having a positive thought maybe at that juncture. Because when we look downward, it can mean this, or if I'm in deep thought, then probably my thoughts would go in this direction too. You know, at times we're just seated, but I suddenly look and I'm looking downward and continuously thinking. It can also mean that the person is in deep thought. So of course, when we talk of eye contact, eye gazing, when we talk of what eyes actually speak, there could be a whole lot of aspects to it. But we need to understand that it is a very crucial aspect as far as communication is concerned. Whether or not someone intends to send a particular meaning or someone else perceives meaning correctly, the exchange of communication happens and can initiate emotion. I guess as individuals, while communication takes place, emotion is a part of our communication. We are not expressing emotions deliberately. We're not expressing emotions intentionally. But while communication takes place, emotions are expressed most of the times. And we assume that most of the times, the emotions are genuine in the way we speak. It is important to understand these dynamics because we often establish relationships with oculexics, right? What does this mean? That when I communicate with somebody, we often ideally communicate in a manner whether or not someone intends to send a particular meaning or someone else perceives the meaning correctly. The exchange of communication happens and can initiate emotion. It is important to understand these dynamics because we often establish relationships with oculexics. Now, when the moment we see a person, the immediate connection is through facial expressions and of course, eye contact. So what is very important when we are talking to a person? First and foremost, we need to understand that nonverbal communication connects to people from all walks of life. Even if you meet a person for the first time, his ability to communicate without saying is ideally most important. Now, in this case, we are saying that eye contact always expresses emotions, and it is through these emotions that our feelings, our attitude and behavior can be explained. Dr. Ekman states that there are 15 basic emotions. Dr. Ekman, as we said, an American psychologist who ideally focuses on emotions and facial behavior. Now, what are the 15 basic emotions which Dr. Ekman focuses on? First is amusement. When you're amused, you find something funny. So the facial expression will probably be that of a laughter or a smile. Anger. Anger is probably an emotion which may be irrational or which may be justified. Contempt. When I say contempt, ideally what does contempt mean? It means that a person is worthless. you start feeling that a person is worthless. For example, Paul stared at Jim with contempt. That means Paul could probably make Jim feel that you're useless and good for nothing. Maybe because of a failure in completion for a project on time. Then you talk of disgust, something which puts you off. So probably you realize that Mr. Jim is never completing projects on time. So you feel that this person is inefficient and it puts you off. A synonym for disgust can be repulsive. Embarrassment, maybe due to what you said and you realize that it should not have been told in that manner. Excitement. Excitement ideally would mean happiness to a great extent. Fear, which leads to worry. Guilt. Guilt is again an emotional sign. It is a warning probably. When we talk of guilt, it is an emotion for a person when he feels that ideally or she feels that he is violated or she has violated a moral standard. So you feel guilty. For example, when a person commits a fraud, the person should feel guilty. Pride in achievements, right? Relief that, okay, I finally completed the projects. Sadness or distress. Sadness, of course, it ideally can lead to a lot of emotional upheaval and also to pain. Satisfaction that finally the job is done well in terms of living up to the expectations and deadlines in the organization, sensory pleasure and shame. With each of these 15 stemming out to similar and related sub-emotions. That means ideally, all these are emotions which are expressed by people all across the world. All these emotions ideally are and will play a very important role in the terms of expression of an individual. All right. Perceptions and display of emotions vary across time and culture. Some theorists say that even with these differences, there can be generally accepted truths about oculexics, such as the theory that constant eye contact between two people is physically and mentally uncomfortable. Now, what does this mean? It is a known fact that constant eye contact can make either one or both of the people uncomfortable. There will be a few seconds, even while you're talking to a person, something which is very serious. There will be a few seconds when probably you may lose eye contact, you may blink more often. Because as a state of mind, or the perception which we have is that how does a person continuously look into the other person's eye while discussing, and the discussion can go on and on. So we need to understand that, of course, beyond cultures, it is also a perception as to what we think and feel as far as eye contact is concerned. The following emotions and their associated eye behaviors need your attention. Anxiety. When there's anxiety, there can be wetness or moisture in the eyes. Anger. Eyes are glaring and wide open because when there's anger, it first generally shows in the eyes. Boredom. When a person is boredom, a person is disinterested, the person may not want to feel associated, and the person may want to cut off. So, eyes not focused or focused on something else. This, of course, indicates a lack of interest, not focusing, feeling bored, not wanting to pay attention. And desire, eyes wide and dilation of pupils. Dilation, it means expansion. So these are emotions associated with eye behavior. Generally, it is said that when a person is going through anxiety, it would probably show in the eyes. But besides the eyes, it is also the movement in terms of hands. For some people, anxiety is through voice whereby he or she may stammer. So, of course, with different people, different kind of behaviors are reflected or shown. Disgust, rapid turning away of eyes. When you're probably really put off with some situation or an individual, it is very easy to just turn away from that situation. So the first thing a person does is probably moves away the eyes from that direction. Envy, where a person is envious or jealous, and it is through glaring, that means actually staring. Fear, eyes could be wide or looking downward, could also be closed. Fear is of course an emotion. It triggers a different feeling in the mind and thus on the face. So a person could probably look down. A person could probably just have eyes closed, since a person does not want to face such a fearful situation. Happiness. Look to eyes wrinkled at the sides. When we say happiness, it probably gives a sparkle in the eyes. It probably shows in terms of a different facial expression, where the person has that shine on the face through the smile. Now, when you talk of happiness as an emotion, it is a lot to also see a shine in the person's eye. That means the person's happiness along with the smile is also reflected in the eyes. Interest, intense focus, perhaps squinting. When we talk of squinting idly, what does it mean? That somewhere you are making your eyes smaller. You're just kind of having smaller eyes, which probably means that you are really focused or looking onto something. Pity, heavy gaze to eyes, moisture in the eyes. A look of pity is very different as far as the eyes are concerned. The eyes probably express a very different emotion when there is pity in the eyes. Sadness, tears in the eyes and looking downwards. Also, possible sleepless appearance. When a person is far too sad, it gets difficult for that person to actually get sleep. So it shows in terms of probably, you know, some people have dark circles, some people it looks they've not slept for days, some people probably show the pain on the face. That means it's easily visible. They're not showing it intentionally. It just by default is there on the face. Shame, eyes looking down while head is turned down. When your eyes and head both are turned down, that guilt, that remorse, that feeling of shame is probably there. Surprise, where the eyes are wide open. We studied how emotions are expressed by communicators' eye movements. Now let us learn how to interpret communicator's eye movement. How do you interpret it? When you observe or see someone's eye movements, how ideally do you interpret that eye movement? For example, if a person is making wide eyes, is it because the person is surprised? Is it because the person is angry? So how do you interpret? When we are talking of these kind of interpretations, it's also a lot to do with the overall facial expressions and the body language too. Eyes up, different people look up for different reasons. Some look up when they are thinking. So probably you're in deep thought, so you look up. Others perform that action in an effort to recall something from their memory. So probably you want to just, you know, have or recall some particular talk or discussion. So you're in deep thought. But the eyes, of course, would show that kind of expression. It may also be a way for people to subconsciously display boredom. Boredom actually has a very different expression on the face, especially as far as eyes are concerned. The look in the eye, especially that of boredom, has a very different facial expression as far as the overall expression is concerned, that means, and even as far as the eyes are concerned. The head position can also come into play. That means the position of the head is extremely important. However, as an upward look with a lowered head can be a coy, suggestive action. Upward look with a lowered head, that means somewhere. It shows that you could probably have some ideas which you could express and suggest. Eyes down, avoiding eye contact or looking down can be a sign of submission, fear, anxiety, not being a friendly person, lack of confidence, and a lot of other aspects. It may also indicate that someone feels guilty. When the guilt feeling comes in, it's an emotional warning sign of what you feel. So, the first thing a person generally does is cut off eye contact. However, depending on the culture of the person, it may also just be a sign of respect. So, I gave you the example that in Japan, having eye contact may not be appreciated. So, you have eye contact, but maybe at times, and especially not continuous eye contact. Lateral movement of eyes. What do we mean by that? Looking away from the person to whom one is speaking is a sign that something else has taken their interest. Now, this kind of behavior actually reflects on your own personality. The very fact that when you are talking to somebody, if you're continuously looking away from the person and not having appropriate eye contact, it reflects on you. Because while talking to an individual, you may take your eyes off for a few seconds or for a few minutes. But if it's continuous, then it means that somewhere you're not interested in what the person is saying. Somewhere it means that who the concerned person is, as far as talking with you is concerned, may not be of importance to you. So, what happens? Ideally, something else has taken your interest and you are aware to an extent that even if you don't have appropriate eye contact with the person, it's absolutely fine. Though, that reflects on you as an individual since you take your eyes off and not having appropriate eye contact. That shows maybe a lack of respect for the other person. So, we need to understand what can be done if this is your kind of personality where you do not wish to have appropriate eye contact. It may also mean that a person is easily distracted. Yes, this is possible. If a person is very often distracted, then ideally losing eye contact or not having appropriate eye contact can be or become a habit. Looking to the left can mean that a person is trying to remember sound, while the right can mean the person is actually imagining the sound. So it seems that even the movement of the eyes towards left and right have some sort of underlying meaning. That's why they're saying looking to the left, that means the person is trying to remember, you're trying to recall. And when it's to the right, you're actually visualizing your imagining. Okay, side to side movement can indicate that a person is lying. But if you're continuously, you know, looking left, right, that means somewhere you're not having the focus, confidence to look at the person right in front of you, then ideally that shows or that may seem that you are not saying the truth. Gazing. Staring at someone means that a person shows sincere interest. Now, staring too can be taken offensively. Ultimately, it is considered inappropriate to ideally stare at somebody or if someone has a habit of staring at other people. That shows ideally a kind of behavior if one is continuously staring at others. It also focuses on etiquette, etiquette, which is manners. So, we need to understand that staring idly is not considered appropriate. Staring at a person's lips indicates that someone wants to kiss another person. In general, staring means I want that. That means if probably you have gone to a restaurant and you're continuously staring at what somebody's ordered for, you probably would have the intention of asking for that. But when we take staring as a term, a lot depends on what is the situation. That means, is it in your organization? What is it all about? Is it in your organization? Then ideally, it can spoil relationships. Who's the concerned person? Whom are you actually staring at? What is the reason for you to stare at a person? Sometimes maybe out of anger, irritation or frustration, you probably will stare at a person. So we need to understand that ideally staring is considered inappropriate, it is not appreciated, and we need to understand why do we behave in this manner. Glancing. Glancing actually means quick contact. So it can show a person's true desires. For instance, glancing at a door might mean that someone wants to leave. So just a quick contact, but the quick contact is enough for the other person or you to realize, look, I've got to leave. Glancing at a glass of water might mean that a person is thirsty. Eye contact. It is powerful and shows sincere interest if it is unbroken. A softening of the stare can indicate sexual desire. Breaking that eye contact can be threatening to the person who does not break the eye contact. We need to understand that eye contact cannot be so intense that the other person feels intimidated or threatened. We also need to understand that it is extremely important that the person who is actually continuously looking at another person is with what intention? Now, if we are looking at another person out of anger, out of wanting to actually argue or fight, then ideally it can set off repulsive behavior on the face and thus in the actions. That means by the way you discuss or speak to the person, all those aspects will affect you and the opposite person too. Staring is more than eye contact. It is usually, or it involves, eyes wider than normal. When I say staring, direct and fixed look at someone. A lack of blinking may indicate more interest, but it may also indicate a stronger feeling than a person may intend to portray. So, we need to understand that if there's continuous blinking or lack of blinking, both of them can ideally suggest a message.